Professor and biographer Christoph Irmscher was sifting through a special collection in Indiana University's Lilly Library when he stumbled on a nearly nude photograph of Ernest Hemingway. The photo belonged to Max Eastman, a writer, critic, and editor, whom Irmscher describes as the Prince of Greenwich Village in the 19-teens and 20s. To launch her series Archival, producer Allison Quantz shares how this photo of naked Hemingway tells a story of pride, manliness, and how tough it can be to buck the norm.
Archives might be all about organizing, but they're often messy places.
So there's still surprises when you look through them.
This is Christoph Irmscher.
My name is Christoph Irmscher.
Christoph is an English professor at Indiana University. Over the last couple of years, he has spent a lot of time digging through the archived papers of a guy named Max Eastman.
About half, or maybe more than half, is not sorted. It's basically the way it came from the estate.
Christoph was looking through Eastman's papers when he found something marked Hemingway.
The envelope was labeled, so I was expecting Hemingway in there, but I was not expecting this type of photograph.
What type of photograph exactly?
It's a black and white photograph. It's a small photograph, a snapshot, basically, taken on the Marquesas Keys in Florida in 1928.
Maybe you've seen photos of Ernest Hemingway. Bushy mustache, manly beard, sophisticated. Sometimes in a turtleneck or wool suit. This photo of Ernest Hemingway is not like that.
He's standing there.
On the beach.
One leg straight down.
The other kind of bent to the side.
And he has one hand on his hip.
And one hand behind his back.
His head is slightly cocked.
And there's some object on his head.
Sort of a cone-shaped thing. Could be a sponge, it could be a turtle shell.
And that thing is sitting on his head. Other than that,
He is naked.
He's naked. With the exception of his private parts.
Which are covered by a butt rest of a fishing rod, the kind of thing you put a fishing rod in to secure it. And that's strapped around his loins, one should say. And it looks incredibly ridiculous.
Christoph was initially shocked, but soon enough, he realized he'd stumbled on something that for Max Eastman had meant a lot more than you might think.
The reason why it was such a find for me is that the fist fight that took place between Hemingway
whoa,
and
whoa,
Eastman.
Whoa. Slow down. Sorry. We'll get there, I promise. So what's the story behind this naked photo of Ernest Hemingway? You'll have to stick with me to find out, but there's going to be bullfights and fistfights and some chest hair, maybe. So don't go too far. Before we get to the photo, let me tell you a bit about Max Eastman, because he's the one who really matters in this story.
Max Eastman was an American writer, a socialist, an editor, a translator.
Christoph says Eastman was like the Prince of Greenwich Village in the 19-teens and 20s. He edited two of the most important magazines, The Masses and The Liberator. Plus, he was famously handsome.
Film star looks, basically.
And Eastman knew how to work it.
How should I put it? I mean, he was, because he was so handsome, he had quite an effect on women and had many affairs. He didn't believe in marriage. Nevertheless, he was married three times.
Pay attention here, because this personal stuff is key. Eastman came out of this moment.
That starts really in the Village in the 19-teens.
When gender and sexuality were starting to be discussed more openly.
People are living alternative lifestyles. People think about sexuality. Books get published about it.
And Eastman had strong views on the subject.
He believed in open marriage. He was a great fan of Alfred Kinsey and the right to do with your body what you want to do with it.
He was a lifelong fighter for women's rights.
Co-founder of the Men's League for Women's Suffrage.
Eastman didn't like strict ideas about what men and women should be or do. His second wife, Elena, was the main breadwinner in their family, and he was cool with that.
You know, it's not something that he felt was emasculating as far as he was concerned.
At the same time, he was keenly aware of what most Americans thought it meant to be a man.
If you publicly admit sexual failure, for instance, that's not okay. you get stigmatized for that. And he felt that it should be okay for men to talk about these things.
What does all this have to do with a naked picture of Ernest Hemingway? Well, in 1933, Max Eastman, remember, noted and powerful literary figure, wrote a review of Ernest Hemingway's book, Death in the Afternoon.
There are gorgeous pages in Ernest Hemingway's book about bullfights, big humor and reckless straight talk.
If Eastman was about breaking down sexual and gender norms, Hemingway was all about masculine swagger.
This kind of virile, swaggering dude. He's somebody who's known for his... for these feats of masculinity, you know, being a war correspondent, big game hunter, the kind of daring that is also in his novels.
Hemingway's characters were men of action.
People in Hemingway's world, his characters make decisions. They suffer as a result, but they make decisions. They come down on one side of an issue and then live with the consequences.
Max Eastman's only novel, on the other hand,
which is actually not as bad as you might think it is,
was basically about a guy who couldn't make a decision.
The novel kind of ends open-ended. And that's not something that Hemingway would have gone for.
All right, now we've got our characters.
There was hard Hemingway, there was soft Max Eastman.
1932. Eastman writes a review of Hemingway's Death in the Afternoon, which was sort of the epitome of the Hemingway ethos.
Death in the Afternoon, published in 1932, which is a massive book about the Spanish bullfight.
Hemingway felt that true art always confronts death in one form or another.
And the bullfight is about death, the death of the bull or the death of the bullfighter.
He saw the bullfight as what life is all about. Eastman had a different take.
Eastman essentially thought this whole book was just a ridiculous display of random masculine bragging, basically.
And he didn't hold back in the review.
He says, it's not authentic, it is not true, it's contrived.
Even worse, there's this sentence.
But some circumstance seems to have laid upon Hemingway a continual sense of the obligation to put forth evidences of red-blooded masculinity.
Did you catch that? Some circumstances are causing Hemingway to prove his manliness. In other words, Hemingway's compensating for something.
It must be made obvious not only in the swing of the big shoulders and the clothes he puts on, but in the stride of his prose style.
Basically, this is how Hemingway walks around. You know, the open shirts, you know, the kind of masculine strutting that he does.
This trait of his character has been strong enough to form the nucleus of a new form of English literature.
He's saying, okay, and with this kind of drivel, he's actually creating a school of writing.
A literary style, you might say, of wearing false hair on the chest.
It's a chest toupee, basically, that Hemingway is wearing.
Not a real chest toupee, of course, a metaphorical one. Eastman starts out by writing about the subject of the book, bullfighting. And then by the end, he's writing about Hemingway as a person.
Attacking him. Hemingway essentially thought that Max was really saying that he had potency problems.
And of course, Hemingway is angry. But there's sort of this unspoken rule in the writing world. You don't write to your reviewers. You don't take things personally.
Hemingway didn't play by the rules. And for him, this was a permanent grudge.
Hemingway wasn't the only one who noticed Eastman's review.
I don't know when I've written anything that I've heard more about from various sources than that article.
It caused a stir. It probably would have been for the best if Eastman had just let the review fade away.
Right, just to let it go. But then he decides to include it in his book, Art and the Life of Action, just a few years later.
Fast forward to late 1937. It's been a couple years since the review was published, and then republished. But as you're about to find out, it was still pretty fresh in Hemingway's mind. So, Hemingway is back from Spain for a short trip.
He's not in a particularly festive mood.
His marriage is breaking up. He's been working hard on a documentary in a war zone. He's covering the Spanish Civil War. He decides to swing by the Scribner's office to meet with his publisher, Maxwell Perkins. It just so happened that Maxwell Perkins was also Eastman's editor. And
Eastman happens to be in the office of Maxwell Perkins when Hemingway strides in.
There are different descriptions of what happened next. not just from the men in the room at the time, but also from the New York Times and the New York Herald Tribune, two very serious newspapers which both covered the event.
Pair of authors go to the mat over hair on chest.
Hemingway slaps Eastman in face.
When Hemingway walked into the office, he not only saw Eastman, he saw a copy of that book, the one that included Eastman's nasty review of Death in the Afternoon.
The volume containing this essay happened to be on Mr. Perkins' crowded desk.
And when I saw that,
says Mr. Hemingway,
I began to get sore.
Look,
said Mr. Hemingway,
I have something to show you.
Hemingway opens his shirt, displays his chest.
And opening his shirt, he exhibited his fine thatch of manly wool.
He persuaded Mr. Eastman to bare his chest and commented on its comparatively hairless condition.
Up until this point, according to the Herald Tribune, the two authors' stories matched. Here's where they get fuzzy.
We were just fooling around in a way,
Mr. Hemingway said.
But when I looked at him, I thought about the book and I got sore.
Hemingway grabs the book and tries to read a passage of it.
I tried to get him to read to me, in person, some of the stuff he had written about me.
Eastman refuses, so Hemingway starts to read that one line. You know the line.
A literary style, you might say, of wearing false hair on the chest.
At the concluding words, Mr. Hemingway threw the book full to Mr. Eastman's face.
According to Eastman, anyway. Hemingway, however, says,
so that's when I socked him with the book.
From there, it's a wrestling match. They are on the floor at each other. The Herald Tribune posted their stats like prize fighters.
Hemingway, age 39, height 6 feet, weight 197 pounds. Eastman, age 54.
When Maxwell Perkins finally intervenes, allegedly Max Eastman was on top, but Maxwell Perkins says there could have been an accident. And there are different claims as to who won that fight.
At some point during this fight, Hemingway demands,
what'd you say I was sexually impotent for?
In other words, it's not so much the bad review of his work that's got Hemingway all upset.
It's about Hemingway's sexual performance and about whatever Eastman might have implied was wrong with it. And that's what the fight is really about. They're behaving like children, basically.
Afterward, the public picked sides.
One of my favorites is a telegram from the ladies of King's Beach, where Eastman went sunbathing.
They wrote,
the ladies of King's Beach declare in a body that you have got hair on your chest.
The story probably peaked when it made its way into a New Yorker cartoon a month later.
Where a man is having a physical, and he has fluff on his chest, and the doctor asks him if he's a writer, because he has chest hair.
Eastman saved all this stuff, the press clippings, the telegram.
Every single article is in a special folder that he assembled.
And Eastman returned to it again and again throughout his lifetime.
Eastman kept revisiting it. This is something that bothered him.
And now we finally get to that photograph. It's the early 1960s. Decades after the review, decades after the fight in the publisher's office.
The photograph was sent to him by Waldo Pierce.
Waldo Pierce was Hemingway's buddy in the 20s, but like Eastman, didn't have a lot of love for the guy.
Pierce sent the photograph to Max Eastman, probably knowing that Max would not just let it go, that he would do something with it.
And do something he did. He published it in his autobiography.
And even the way the photograph gets included in the book is backhanded. The caption in and of itself is an insult.
The caption reads, Hemingway in the 20s.
That's, of course, the time when we think of the roaring 20s and Hemingway's great reputation. That's the time Sun Also Rises gets published. That's the time in our time the collection of the short stories that made him famous gets published. And to represent him as a guy goofing around on the beach.
Eastman, or his publisher, does end up old-time photoshopping some swim trunks onto Hemingway.
Even if he's wearing swim trunks, he still has this ridiculous thing on his head. You know, it is meant to cast a none-too-favorable light on Hemingway.
I think it's safe to say that's not the image of him that Hemingway wanted people to remember. Did I mention he was already dead? Kind of a low blow. But you know, to set the record straight, Naked Hemingway doesn't have a whole lot of hair on his chest. Max Eastman threw the final punch, right?
On a higher level, at least, Hemingway won the fight because he got Eastman to humiliate himself in a way publicly. You know, when you look at these articles, this is not what Eastman wanted to be known for.
Eastman had spent his whole professional life fighting against the notion that manliness equals violence. You know, the kind of notion that causes things like fistfights over chest hair.
For Eastman, Hemingway was a product of barrooms, you know, his whole, the way of talking, right? And he resented that. And so the tragedy of this fight is that he was pulled into that and tried to get out of it somehow. But the more he protested, the more he was sliding into it, right? And he could never extricate himself from this entirely, because suddenly he feels if he just ends up on the kind of girly side of the fight, his entire kind of criticism of Hemingway gets invalidated.
Yes, it's totally contradictory.
It is something that he should have stepped out of. He should have stepped away from it. He should have removed himself from it. But he could not do it.
Because what came back, Christoph thinks, were all the years being told he wasn't man enough because he wasn't the right kind of man.
Hemingway, in a sense, brought it all out in him, it, to a degree that he just could not forget, that he could not forgive him for.
Those rules that said men are measured by sexual prowess or ease in violence, Eastman thought he'd overcome them, moved past them. But somehow, Hemingway sucked him into the bullfight.
You know, in a sense, think about it. I mean, this is something that we are not past this today. You know, it's so easy to, at least theoretically, you take the high road and then something happens and all of a sudden, you know, all these things come out in you that you never thought were inside you because somebody implied something about you. Sort of the adolescent that lives in us all our lives, right?
For Cafe Indiana, I'm Allison Quantz.
Allison Quantz is a radio producer living in Bloomington. Her work has been heard across the country on shows such as Backstory with the American History Guys, Word of Mouth, and With Good Reason. Naked Hemingway is the debut of her series Archival, about stories found in the boxes, basements, and drawers of archives around the world.